God's word speaks to us this morning from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 19. The scope of my message this morning is going to cover all the way through 12, verse 12. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all of that. But that is going to be the scope of my message, for the text is found in Hebrews 12, verse 12, where we read, "Therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees." But now we begin God's word, Hebrews 10, verse 19. We're going to read through the third verse of chapter 11. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those earlier days after you received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possession. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for, that by faith we understand that the universe was formed by God at God's command, so what is seen was not made out of what was visible." This is the Lord's word. There are two images that come to my mind when I think of feeble arms and weak knees. One of those images is of a boxer who is fighting the current world champion. It is the last round. And surprising to everyone, the challenger seems to be ahead. However, in the last round, he's getting really tired. His hands begin to drop and his knees begin to feel like butter. And so when the champ throws a left jab, and while the challenger ducks that, he fails to see the right uppercut, and it hits him with great power. So the challenger lights go out, his arms go down, his knees buckle, and he's out for the count. The second image, which came to my mind, I hope it didn't come to yours, is when I thought about feeble arms and weak knees, I thought of myself. You know, it's really hard dealing with getting old. After many years, your arms become weak and your knees begin to creak. And that has been most notable for in my life when I play golf. Years ago, I considered myself really a good golfer. I could hit the ball a long way, I could putt quite accurately, and I could walk the whole course carrying my old bag of clubs. However, as time passed by, my drives became shorter, and it now takes me more shots to get to the hole. I miss more and more putts, and now I have to ride a cart. I still have fun, but because of my feeble arm and weak knees, it's harder to get the ball into the hole. Feeble arms and weak knees. That's the image that the author had for the Hebrews. In chapter 12, verse 12, he says and mentions those images to describe the spiritual life of his readers. He says they're like a tired boxer or an old golfer, for they have developed feeble arms and weak knees. And as the author says, at one time they stood firm their ground against dealing with life's problems. They were living with the expectation and hope of the return of Jesus Christ. But when Jesus did not come and the years passed and the troubles of life began to increase, their faith began to fade, their strength began to weaken, so that arms that wanted to work eagerly for the Lord became feeble, and knees that at once stood strong with courage and conviction were weakened by the blows of life. Now, indication of the feeble arms and weak knees were seen first of all in their lack of church attendance, prompting the writer to say in chapter 10, verse 25, "Do not neglect to meet together as is the habit of some." And it was also seen in their involvement in immorality. Chapter 10, verse 26, we read, "If we sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left." And later, there will be indications of strife and bitterness and a rapid decline of confidence and hope. And we thought that that perhaps was only a modern trend, but as we read Hebrews, we're talking about the apostolic age, when very special spiritual gifts were still evident, and still the members of the church were fading in their strength and faith. It just goes to show how powerful the impact of outside forces have on the health of the members of the Church of Jesus Christ. Our author mentions in chapter 10, verse 34, the hard times that were facing the church at that time. Persecution, insults, confiscation of their property, prison. And that's why it caused some to have feeble arms and weak knees. Now centuries have passed without the return of Jesus Christ, and many things seem to be impacting our spiritual lives, such as the passage of time, waiting for the return of Jesus, losing a sense of expectation. There is also the boredom of the routine. Also the increasing intolerance of the church in our society. But also things such as the lure and excitement of the world and our idolatrous pursuit of material things and the obsession that we have with sports and other celebrities. They have all contributed to the sapping of our strength so that we have feeble arms and weak knees. Just as in the time of the Hebrews, there is this concern about church attendance. I mean, in our denomination, just over the last few years, many churches have gone from two services to one. And those that still have an evening service like our own find that it is very sparsely attended. And to entice those who have this habit of not attending services, many ministers, thankfully not our own Pastor Roger, many ministers have begun to water down the doctrine and confessional content of the gospel for a more person-approving, ego-building, how-to-prosper themes. And to entice members away from football games or basketball games on television, we have moved from adoration and worship of our God through Jesus Christ to entertaining, to entertainment. And on this basis alone, it's obvious that we have feeble arms and weak knees. Another indication of our spiritual health, according to the author of the Hebrews, has to do with sexual immorality. Today, easy access to pornography brings it right into our homes, and it has become a cancer in the body of Christ. I have witnessed two pastors who destroyed their marriages, their professional integrity, and their witness because of it. And further, at this present time, we are witnessing a fracture in our Christian Reform community because the pride of the LGBTQ community and their world and life view has convinced some of our pastors and congregations to leave our denomination because we have, as a denomination, confessionally stated that such a lifestyle is immoral. All of this, I believe, stems from the fact that many of us, many fellow Christians, consider the Word of God to be old-fashioned, irrelevant, culturally limited. And so just this is occurring just when the world and just when evil and just when unbelief are increasing and when the spiritual life is becoming more perilous. It is such a critical time in the church today, such a critical time. And just when the community of faith needs to be more committed and more united and more obedient and more sacrificial, it has feeble arms and weak knees. And what is the remedy according to the author to the Hebrews? What is the remedy for feeble arms and weak knees? Faith. Faith. That's it. Not gimmicks like having Easter egg hunts on Easter. Not bigger and bigger worship centers. Not bigger and bigger Sunday productions. Not big name gospel singers. Not compromising with our culture. The remedy is faith. That's the testimony of the great cloud of witnesses listed in Hebrews chapter 11. There is a passage in the Old Testament that has become the pivot on which the exhortation of our author turns. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. It says, "But my righteous one will live by faith." Now, this Old Testament verse is quoted three times in the New Testament. And each time, I believe the emphasis falls on a different word in that sentence. In Romans 1, verse 17, we would read, "The righteous one will live by faith," because Paul was establishing the faith principle as being the instrument by which we accept the justification of God through Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3, verse 11, the emphasis falls on the righteous shall live by faith. For the context is a discussion on justification, which was being forgotten by the Galatians as they returned to works of the law for their salvation, rather than accepting the grace of God through Jesus Christ for their salvation. Well, here in Hebrews 10, verse 38, we should place the emphasis on the righteous shall live by faith. Shall live by faith. For the subject is having faith in the promises of God so that we work and watch and wait with eagerness and hope. The author is calling on all Christians in whatever age to live every day of their life by faith. If you're burdened by the conditions of the world, live by faith. If you're wavering before the temptations of the world, live by faith. If you're struggling with problems at work or at home, live by faith. If you're angry or disappointed with the church, live by faith. If you're hurting in your heart and your life because of loneliness or grief or guilt, live by faith. If you're losing hope or your joy is fading or your peace is fleeting, live by faith. Only with faith, only through faith, only upon faith, only by faith can we continue to live with hope in spite of the circumstances and continue to stand with strength before whatever is going on in our world. If the circumstances or situations in our life are causing our arms to grow feeble and our knees to weaken, live by faith. Without faith, we will lose, or we will be like those who have given up. Without faith, we're going to be like those who shrink back. Without faith, we're going to be those who are destroyed. But living by faith, we will join the great cloud of witnesses someday. We turn our attention then to chapter 11. Now, the intent of chapter 11 is to give us both a definition of faith and many examples of those who lived by faith, whose arms and knees did not weaken, so that we ourselves can be strengthened. So faith is defined in Hebrews 11, verse 1, as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We all hope for many things, do we not? We have hope every day. It all, that question remains, but what is the foundation of such hope? Our hope, all of our hope, rests upon the faithfulness of God. Now, if there is no God, then we have no foundation whatever for our hope. Everything we believe in depends upon the fact that God exists and that He has spoken. The author places all the people that are mentioned in chapter 11 in contrast to the people of the world. And those in chapter 11 believed in God and believed His word. They lived by faith, and their arms and knees were strong, and their faith was rewarded, and their hope was fulfilled. However, the idol worshippers, together with the atheist and secularist and humanist of today, they have absolutely no reason and no foundation for their hope. So they do not, because they do not believe in God or in His word. A prominent legislator was quoted as assuring the students of a prominent university that they would see a time when there would be no more war. Well, what was the foundation of his hope? For God's word says that the opposite is true. There is always going to be war or rumors of war in every generation. You see, the real question is not, do you believe? There are many who believe. But in whom do you believe? Faith is not a matter of sincerity. It's a matter of truth. So our society sincerely believes in the hope that man is capable of doing what is needed to secure his happiness and his future. But what secures that hope? Nothing. Certainly not man. You see, the people of chapter 11 become a great cloud of witnesses. For you see, the fact is they built their life upon the assurance that God is real and that what God said is true and that God is faithful to His promises. And when He is faithful, it will be so. The word certain, in the phrase certain of things not seen, that word means proof. Certainty depends on proof. Now the foremost sin in the New Testament was that the world did not believe in Jesus Christ in spite of the proof, both reasonable and miraculous. And the author of the Hebrews speaks of shrinking back and being destroyed. For when one begins to doubt that God is God and God has spoken, then that weakened faith will begin to be reflected in our habits, in our life choices. When we no longer take God at His word, when we no longer take Him seriously, we begin to spend less time in His presence. We begin to spend less time in His word as an individual and as a family. We do begin to develop this habit of not going to church. And we become easy prey to immorality in our culture. We get caught up in the excesses of material things to the detriment of the ministry of the church. We begin to idolize pop stars like Taylor Swift. or athletes. And what happens? We soon have feeble arms and weak knees. That's why knowing the people mentioned in chapter 11 and how they lived by faith hopefully will encourage us to hang in there. To hang in there. Or to change our ways if our talk is not evident in our walk. Remember that those mentioned in chapter 11 believe the truth of things not seen. They had faith in promises that were still a long ways off. And they endured because they saw him who is invisible. And they obeyed even though they did not know where they were going. And in summary, if you would read this chapter, you will see that they endured unimaginable persecution and harm. Why? Because God had promised them something better. God had promised them something better. And they believed it. That promise is given also to each one of us. Now you have noticed that so far in this message, little has been said about Jesus. And that was not an oversight. I have been following the sequence of instruction from the author. So in admonishing us for having feeble arms and weak knees, his focus has been on God the Father. For after all, it is God, our Creator. It is God, our covenant God. It is God, our Heavenly Father, who made the promises to us. And it is He who has spoken to us in His Word. And when we say we need faith, we have to believe in His existence and in His Word. And if we would read further into chapter 12, the author reminds us that whatever hardships that we may experience by living by faith, we have to understand that that hardship should be considered our Heavenly Father's discipline toward us. Enduring hardship, the author says, has to be seen as discipline from our Heavenly Father. And the fact that He's willing to discipline us indicates that He sees us as His children, His sons and daughters. Wow. God loves us. And that's why He disciplines us, to strengthen our feeble arms and weak knees. And it is in that context of being disciplined by our Heavenly Father that the author says, fix your eyes on Jesus. As you're going through these difficulties and as you live by faith, look to Jesus, His only begotten Son. For in the author's estimation, there can be no greater witness to living by faith than Jesus Christ. For the joy before Him, that's the promise. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, that's the faith. Sitting now at the right hand of the throne of God, that's the reward. And that's why we must fix our eye on Jesus, to know what it is to live by faith. Feeble arms and weak knees occur when we fix our eyes upon perhaps the pleasures of the world, or fix our eyes on the popularity of some celebrity, or fix our eye on the prosperity of the unbeliever. We all have that image of Peter walking on the water and taking his eye off Jesus and beginning to sink. That's what happens if we fail to fix our eye on Jesus as we try to live by faith. Renew your devotion to Him, dear friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Renew your devotion. Renew your commitment. Start living by faith. And we will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. It's hard at times, Father, to see You and to see and to grab hold of Your promises, but the author to the Hebrews said we must. Help us, Father, in this culture of ours to truly live by faith, to claim Your promises, to know that You have for us something greater in mind. Thank You for the witness of those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, what courageous people they were, what wonderful, strong believers they were. Help us to follow their example. Give us Your Spirit to do so. We ask this in our Savior's name. Amen.